Good morning. Thank you, Don, for leading those songs. Couple of announcements. One, we really want to express, get away from that mic. I'm just going to stand here until Preston gets back there. That will work. Just shut that one off. You're a genius.
Thank you.
Oh man, I said that in public, in front of people. Now I got to live up to it. Couple of announcements. One, we want to welcome back some of our members that have been traveling. Nice to see you. Want to welcome the visitors that we have. Give you a very special welcome. Glad that you're worshiping with us. Amen. There is a sign-up sheet in the foyer for a Ladies' Day. It's being held at the North Las Vegas Church of Christ, and I'm wanting to say it's either this Sunday or next Sunday is the last day to sign up. They need a head count to know how many to expect for that. That has been a very successful event over the years. Also, next Sunday, up at Bright Angel Congregation at 2 o'clock, is an area-wide singing. The preachers, or many of the preachers of the area congregations, get together once a month for breakfast, and we were trying to think, you know, how can we get some activities for some of the different congregations together for fellowship and so forth. And so there's going to be, we used to do this years ago, but we're going to have an area-wide singing. And Bright Angel is hosting the first one. I think North Las Vegas is next month. But the first one is going to be next Sunday at 2 o'clock. And we'll just stay as long as we can to get back on this side of town for our worship. But wanted to remind people of that. Also, I noticed we're starting to get quite a few children in the congregation. The Bright Angel congregation hosts the bus and so forth to go down to a church camp outside of San Diego each year. And man, what do we do? 9, 10, 11 years we served our duty, and I think the youth minister up at Bright Angel's taking care of that now, but where they'll rent a van, a bus or a van to take the kids down. But it is a week-long Bible camp, and it's tremendous. If any of you are interested, it's for grade school up through high school. And if anybody's interested in sending their children, see me. I've got the application and the paperwork for that. I can give you a copy of that. Have a couple of prayer requests here before we get started in our lesson. The Sparks, Carolyn, Addison, and Elliot, wanted to thank you for the prayers and concern. We have been praying for that family. Carolyn's mom passed away this past Thursday. She'd been in hospice care, and they would like prayers and want to thank everybody for the prayers, but we will go to God on behalf of them in just a second. Also, those of you that may know John Caffey, he worships up at the Bright Angel congregation. He passed away recently. He was just diagnosed a short time ago with cancer, and has passed away. The funeral is today at 2 o'clock. It kind of came very, very sudden. And also, have a prayer request here. I'm just from Little Louie. Says, prayer that I continue to learn about God and follow Him so I can have a home in heaven.
Amen.
I hope we all heard that one. Because that's coming from Louis, and that is a prayer that every single one of us could be praying, should be praying every day. Let's go to God in prayer on behalf of these people, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong. We ask that you be with the Sparks family right now, who have just lost a mother and grandmother. Comfort them. Help us as their brothers and sisters. Care for them. Give them condolences and comfort them at a time of loss. We also pray for the Caffey family at this time. Dear God, it's a good reminder how fragile our lives are. How suddenly and quickly any of us could be taken. And to enjoy, prepare, and place ourselves in a situation where death is only temporary for us. Dear God, we're mindful for the prayer that Louis requested. That is a prayer that should be on each one of our lips and hearts every day, that we learn more about you, decide to follow him, and the ultimate end is to have a home with heaven, in heaven with you, God. Dear God, please forgive us. Be with us the rest of our worship to you. We hope everything that has been done has been in accordance with sound doctrine, that we've worshiped you in spirit and in truth, and it's been pleasing to you. We pray everything through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Louis' prayer goes right along with our lesson today. But it's not a salvational issue. A lot of times, we as Christians will have discussions, answer questions to non-members, people that have not been baptized. People will come up and want to know, just like the people on the day of Pentecost, what must I do to be saved? And our answer is the same thing to them. It's a different situation with somebody outside of the church coming and wanting to know what to do to get into the church. This statement, but it's not a salvational issue, is usually used with people that are in the church that have been baptized. And hopefully this lesson from God's Word can prepare us a little bit better on how to deal with fellow Christians that come up with this statement or attitude. What you're saying is not a salvational issue. Or is it? And that's the key. They're saying it's not, as if it were a fact. But many times it is a salvational issue. They argue that the only salvational issues are the ones that get you to be a Christian. You know, the hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized. They see that as the end result. That when somebody puts on Christ in baptism, that's it. Case closed. Period. Turn off the lights. It's over. That is the start of your Christian life. That is the start of your Christian walk. That attitude, for the most part, is a denominational attitude of once saved, always saved. That once I get wet, I'm good to go. I'm not downplaying the role of baptism. It is essential, it is mandatory, commanded by God. I'm not downplaying that. But baptism is the point of where we're added by the Lord to the church. That's how we get into the church. There's also the command to remain faithful. And that takes the rest of our lives of service to do that. We see the verses in Revelation 2:10 about remain faithful until death and receive a crown of life. Matthew 10:22, Jesus says that you're going to be hated by all for my name's sake. But you that endure to the end will be saved. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, he says, take heed lest you fall. He's writing to Christians. But Paul, I've been baptized. Take heed lest you fall. Amen. Jude 3 says, contend earnestly for the faith. Not lackadaisical, not if I find time, not if it's convenient. You contend earnestly. And then there, Paul adds to it in 1 Corinthians 15, he gives some phrases that were military commands. To stand fast, to hold fast. That is, you hold your ground. You don't retreat. You don't turn tail and run. You don't go AWOL. You hold fast. You be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We have to remain faithful after we're baptized. There's plenty of issues that Christians deal with sometimes on a daily or at least weekly basis that have nothing to do with salvation. What time do we worship? There are congregations, faithful congregations, some will worship at 10, 10:30. 11:15. Some will have two worships because of the amount of people. That's okay. Those are not salvational issues. The fact that some people worship at 10:30 and others at 10, not going to go to hell over that. We don't have to get sideways over the color of the carpet or whether we should have tile or carpet. Do we rent or do we own our own building? Many of us would love to have a freestanding, getting out from under rent and a landlord. Many of us would love to someday have our own building. Amen. But you know what? If that doesn't come about and we have to stay here, or if we have to go someplace else, we will do it. That's not a matter of salvation. Do we have pews or chairs? Do we show services online or not? That's not a salvational issue. But there are some things that do affect our salvation.
that there's no room for negotiation on. There's no debate, there's no discussion whether or not we worship on the first day of the week. Denominations will argue that. There are some people within the church that want to follow the denominations. Why don't we have a service on Saturday? Get it out of the way. Give an option for people to worship on Saturday, because it's not in the Bible. Case closed. The Christians in the first century met on the first day of the week. There are people that want to discuss the teachings, the methods, the acceptance of baptism. I want to identify with you. I want to place membership with the South Valley Church of Christ. Great. Are you a Christian? Yes. Have you been baptized? Yes. Great. Where were you baptized? Well, I was baptized as an infant in the such and such church. It's not the way the Bible says. The use of musical instruments. Well, it's not a salvational issue. Are you sure? Are you willing to bet your soul on that? Because that's what you're doing. About proper marriages. Whether I can have been married 86 times or not. Or whether I can marry my pet dog. Or whether I can marry somebody with the same makeup as myself. And there are people that will argue that. The roles of men and women in the church. There are people right now in the Church of Christ that want to cross that line about men and women. About, well, let's let women in roles of leadership. It's not a salvational issue. I beg to differ. Anything that goes against God's word is a salvational issue. Why do so many people take these arguments, these unscriptural views? We use the term liberal or conservative. I don't like those terms, but people use those terms to kind of get people in a certain place. Things are either scriptural or they're unscriptural. Amen. That's all there is. Those are the only choices. Sometimes they do it sincerely out of lack of knowledge. Out of lack of knowledge or lack of study. That shows the importance of study. It shows the importance of keeping your nose in the Bible. Sometimes people have the good heart, but they just don't know. Sometimes they do it out of just an open disrespect for the authority of the Scriptures. I don't know if you've ever heard this. I have. Christians, baptized believers, say the phrase, "I know it says that, but..." They've already lost the argument there. "I know it says it, but..." Bam, you lose. Next. Sometimes for the fear of the consequences, that if they go with this view, the consequences is lack of salvation. Not only for them, and the fear of the consequences of having to change life, having to change your lifestyle, having to change your practices, having to go back and say, "I was wrong. A lot of people can't say that. I remember Fonzie had a hard time saying that back on Happy Days. I was... A lot of people have that Fonzie attitude. They can't admit they were wrong about anything. And sometimes you take that view, well, it's not a salvational issue, to avoid saying, you know what, I was wrong. I misunderstood this scripture. Sometimes they have a personal agenda. They have a soapbox that they want to get up on to push. Maybe it's a personal view about something that they've got to force a round peg in a square hole to make it fit, to avoid adjusting their life. Sometimes it's just unwillingness to submit to God, to the Bible, to each other, to your own conscience sometimes. I'd like to finish up with some verses for us to ponder, for us to, that goes along with some of these issues that we were looking at. Put them in the back of your mind. Maybe go back and reread these verses this week. And I think they'll kind of drive the point home. All the way back in the Old Testament, in Hosea, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children." The key in this passage is the fact that people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God's Word. If you don't know God's Word, you can't follow God's Word. Drives the point home of Bible study. Zechariah 7, starting in verse 11, says, "But they refused to heed." Just, they dug their heels in. They refused to heed the word of God. Shrugged their shoulders, stopped their ears so that they could not hear. Yes, they made their hearts like flint, refusing to hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent by His Spirit through the former prophets. Thus great wrath came from the Lord of hosts. They know the truth. They hear the truth. They're just going to stop their ears up. You know, blah, 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 I'm not hearing you. I refuse to hear what you have to say. 2 Timothy, we've read this verse. I've lost track of how many times we've referred to this verse at this location. All Scripture. And by the time Paul wrote this, most of even the New Testament had been written by this time. I used to think, oh, the all Scripture was the Old Testament. It's the Old Testament, and by this point, most of the, only a couple of books of the New Testament were left to be written. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Somebody should do a lesson on that someday. Acts 20 and verse 7, Paul declared, "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." He didn't pick and choose. He didn't do the Las Vegas buffet style of gospel. Oh, I really like this. Give me a whole bunch of this. those Brussels sprouts. I love Brussels sprouts, but a lot of people don't like Brussels sprouts. No, none of those. Give me a whole bunch of that dessert, though. You can't do that with God's word. Paul didn't do it with God's word. We had our lesson last week was based on this scripture where Jesus gives the command to the apostles. He says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Baptizing them, that's important. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. To observe all things. Not just up to the point of baptism. Go out into the world, baptize people, then leave them to be on their own. You got to raise them up like we do children. Raise them in the Word. Teach them all the things I have taught you. Matthew 16, from that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. But it's not a salvational issue. Just like Peter, you're focused on the things of men and not the teachings of God.
Amen.
Jesus gave us the perfect example. The night of his arrest, betrayal, his trial, his coming crucifixion. As he went into the garden, he left his disciples and went a short ways further into the garden. It says in verse 39, it says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He's giving God, if there's any way I can get out of this, if there is another way other than what I think's got to happen. But more than that, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.
Amen.
But it's not a salvational issue, God. Your will be done. Just a few verses later, again a second time, he went away and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done. Him yielding, him submitting and humbling himself, not to what he wanted, but to what God wanted. In Mark 10, we see that not everybody could have that attitude. This is the account of the rich young ruler. He was a young man. He had many possessions, and he comes to Jesus and he asks him, Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus tells him, well, you got to keep the commandments and do this and do that. And the young man kind of perked up. I've done those things. Since my youth, I've been on that track, Jesus. And in verse 21, it says, then Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me. That was the only thing this young man was lacking. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But it's not a salvational issue, is it, Jesus? Jesus told him what he had to do. He asked Jesus. He goes to the teacher and he asks him, "What do I have to do?" He's told he just couldn't do it because his will got in the way, not God's. In Matthew 11:15, Jesus gives the warning, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And where we ended up, or where we started off rather, we'll end up, the scripture that Dick read, verse 21 of that passage, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven."
Amen.
Not what we want to do, not to please men, but the will of God in heaven.
Amen.
A lot of times, it does matter. But it's not a matter of salvation. It's not a salvational issue. Sometimes it really does matter, depending on the issue. And sometimes it is a matter of salvation. If you're not a Christian, if you have not been baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, making a conscious effort and a conscious decision to put your Lord on in baptism, you're not yet a Christian. But once you have been baptized, that's when the Lord adds you to His church. And then all of those other things that Jesus commanded the apostles to teach, then we have to learn those things also. You're not expected to know everything to be baptized. But once we have been baptized, it is on us to continue to learn.
Amen.
To where when those issues and those arguments, but it's not a salvational issue, we can determine whether it is or not. Whether it's part of God's word or an opinion. If you need to respond to the invitation, the invitation is open 24 hours a day for you to either be baptized, if there's sin in your life and you need to repent at 2 in the morning, because you're not guaranteed the next day. Repent. Turn away from that sin. If you have prayer requests that we, your brothers and sisters, could go to God on your behalf with you, let us know what those are. If there's something between brothers and sisters, don't let another day go by with that strife and enmity between you and another person. But it's not a salvational issue. You tell God that. Having strife and division between your brothers and sisters, not a salvational issue. We'll address that on some other lesson. Whatever your need, if you'd come forward, let your need be known, we'll address those as Don leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.